Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So it looks like Mike Pence is at work. It didn't take long. Heritage Foundation putting him to work. He's got an op-ed out on their website, the Daily Signal. And again, it's one of these, he's full in. He is full into the, you know, they stole it. He's full into, it's all bad. We can't do any of these kind of liberal Democrat reforms, like letting people vote. Can't possibly do that. And look, I'm not surprised by him at all. But I find it interesting that he threw out that we're going to let felons vote the second they step foot out of prison. And I'm like, yeah, what's wrong with that? They did their time. I'm okay with restoring their rights. Why do you think they shouldn't be there, Mike? And maybe, you know, who knows? After we investigate January 6th, you might need yours restored. But here to share some thoughts on H.R. 1 and what the chances of getting this through are, I've asked Tiffany Muller to come talk with us. Tiffany's the president of End Citizens United and also the president of Let America Vote. Tiffany, thanks for taking time for us.
Well, thanks so much for having me on tonight, Rick. It's a pleasure to be here.
So Mike Pence says this is unconstitutional. We can't do any of it. It's all bad.
Yeah, Mike Pence is just wrong, right? Like, these are common sense reforms. Let's talk about what this bill actually does. So it does four really simple things. It makes it easier, not harder to vote by making sure folks can vote by mail without having to have an excuse, that we can have early voting, to your point that people who have served their time can have their voting rights restored, and that we help people register to vote. So all the things to make it easier, not harder to vote. It stops the partisan gerrymandering and map manipulation and actually puts in independent redistricting. It ends the dominance of big money in politics. It makes sure we have disclosure and transparency in our campaign funding and spending. And it says, look, if you're going to be a public official, you should make sure you're serving the public good, not your own good. And so it puts in a lot of anti-corruption measures, like if you want to be president, you have to disclose your tax returns. 83% of people like this bill, including 74% of Republicans. You want to know why Mike Pence doesn't like it? It's the same reason Mitch McConnell doesn't like it, because they think the more people that vote, the less elections they can win. And it really is that simple.
No, it is that simple. But in his piece, he writes out, people like you, leftists like you only want people powerless at the ballot box. They want to silence and censor anyone who would dare criticize their unconstitutional power grab. It's all bad. It's all bad, Tiffany.
Except who's the ones who right now have 253 bills in 43 states to roll back voting rights?
Right.
That's not Democrats. That's Republicans who are continuing to spread lies about what happened in the 2020 election, which we know was accurate, secure, fair. And now they're using that to go push to keep people from actually being able to access the ballot box. Right. And they're not even keeping quiet about it. They're saying the quiet parts out loud. Just yesterday in court, they said, well, look, if these voting restrictions aren't held up and more people can vote, then Republicans can't win elections. That's their main concern.
Yeah, whereas maybe come up with better ideas.
Yeah, exactly. Go actually have to win those voters over rather than keeping them from participating in our democracy. Whereas what we say is, look, our system's based on one voice, one vote. And that's what this bill does. It gives power back to the people. It takes it away from the special interests, away from the big donors, away from those who would keep folks from being able to vote. And that's what it does. It really is that simple.
Let's talk about the money, because money and politics have been the end for a very long time. You know, Citizens United wasn't the end, but it was the beginning. And the amount of money that's gone into these races has created an environment where, as you said, this bill is overwhelmingly popular, as is a $15 an hour minimum wage, as is the rescue plan that President Biden has, as is, you know, we can go down the list, as, you know, healthcare, national healthcare, all of those things. And yet somehow the voice of the people never gets heard and none of this stuff ever gets passed. Yet overwhelmingly, the majority of us want these things. And it comes down to, you know, who they know which side the bread the butter's on.
That's exactly right. That's exactly what it's about. I mean, look, our name is End Citizens United. We think it was the most disastrous Supreme Court decision in our lifetime. And for your listeners who don't know, it did two really simple things. It said corporations are people and money equals speech. And it unleashed a just flood of money into our politics. And so prior to Citizens United, there had been about $750 million in outside spending spent to influence our elections, which is a lot of money. But in the 10 years since, it's been $7.5 billion. It's increased tenfold in just 10 short years. And look, all that does is drown out the voice of the people. To your point, right, like all of these things that we know are incredibly popular, background checks on guns, right? 95% of Americans want it. But for too long, the NRA and big money, gun lobby money has been controlling that. We know we have a climate change problem and that we need to address that. And yet, since Citizens United, not a single Senate Republican has been willing to address the issue because the oil and gas lobby puts in so much campaign money. Let's take Big Pharma. They put in hundreds of millions of dollars into elections every single campaign season. But you know what? Their return on investment is huge because they got a $76 billion tax cut in the 2017 Republican tax cut bill. But did your prescription drug prices go down? Because I know mine didn't.
Nope.
And I don't think they did for most people. And that's exactly what we're talking about, is that the people's voice is supposed to matter in Congress and in Washington, D.C. And right now, too much money is setting the policy and it's setting the agenda and the outcomes. And so that's what this bill does. It actually breaks that connection so that we can begin to address all the other big priorities that we have before us. With COVID relief, my last example, even with COVID relief, Mitch McConnell was happy to quickly approve a $500 billion slush fund to help out the big corporations. But getting $2,000 checks to American families who are suffering has been just a Herculean task and taken almost a year to do. And that's why we have to change this system.
No, I'm right there with you. But, you know, when you look at this and the amount of money, it's just in the obscenity of the amount of money. And then all of these dark groups, all of this dark money that goes around, these super PACs who have these wonderfully euphemistic names like Americans for Dogs and Puppies, who are just spewing the most vile stuff, basically doing the bidding of a handful of people who have a ton of money. We've got to open that up and expose it. Look, I'm in favor of people having their right to have to say things, but I want to know who's saying it.
Absolutely. And we know, so in HR1, there's the Disclose Act, and it says if you are an organization who spends more than $10,000 to influence our elections, we have to know who's funding you, right? And so all of those dark money groups, Americans for Better Puppies, to your point, they have to disclose who's funding them. And what we've seen in states that have implemented this is that not only could we then have accountability and actually trace back where that money was coming from, but the other thing it did is some of these people don't want us to know that they're putting money in, which means some of that money actually goes out of the system. That's a good thing. And the other thing that this bill does is it actually stops the coordination between candidates and these super PAC groups. We know that that's happening all the time. And right now it's not being enforced. So this actually cracks down on that coordination and gives the Federal Election Commission some real teeth to enforce the law.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy that we don't have strong election regulation. And especially when you're talking about the amounts of money. Personally, I'm someone who believes in publicly financed elections. I loved Andrew Yang's idea of freedom dollars and the ability of average everyday people to give small donations to people that would have matching. I think that's a way forward, and capping the amount money can be spent. I would love to see corporate money completely outlawed like it had been at the beginning of our country. There's so many things we can be doing to bring that down. Free airtime on radio and TV, because, hey, they are the public's airwaves after all. I seem to remember that. There's so much we could and should be doing. And, you know, the big moneyed people don't want it.
That's right. And this bill actually does include a small dollar donor matching system. And guess what? You're going to love this. You are going to love this. It's not even paid for with taxpayer dollars. It's paid for by fining corporations who break the law. So think of it this way, like BP oil spill was fined for the damage that they caused to our country. There's a small surcharge that goes on top of that fine that actually funds the small dollar donor matching system. And to your point, that kind of public financing actually opens the door so that regular people can run for office. Right now, 50% of Congress are millionaires, right? They don't know what it's like to have to worry about paying the rent or getting their prescription drugs covered, right? And so we need more women candidates, more candidates of color, more working class candidates to be able to run. And this is how we're going to do it. And on top of that, it even more than pays for itself and helps bring down the deficit. It is good policy. It is good politics. We need to get it done.
Now my conservative friends say, well, you fall down on this, Tiffany, because you don't have term limits. And I'm someone who believes that we already have term limits. That's why I go to vote. Are you guys in favor of hard term limits?
Yeah, we're like you. We think that there's term limits for the House of Representatives every 2 years, right? They have to stand and face their voters. At the same time, I want to eliminate some of the structural things that have been put into place that currently rig the system and make so many of these seats not competitive, right? Like the gerrymandering that we've seen. We need to actually make sure we have fair maps so that voters are picking their elected officials and not the other way around. And, you know, getting the big money out, making sure everyone can vote. All of these things should make our elections both more competitive and drive real cooperation in Congress.
No, absolutely something we should do. And, you know, I look at my senatorial district is one of the most bizarre looking that I've seen in a while. And I keep asking, you know, how did we dream this one up? You know, how did we dream this kid, you know, all bent over like the kid who does the peeing on things with a bad case of gas? How did you draw that up? How did you figure out? Because I live in the gas cloud of the 30th Senatorial District here in Pennsylvania, and it makes me laugh every time I see it. But, you know, here are people with creative pencils, because when you know the area, you know why they chose what they did and how they carved each district to make sure it had the right balance so that they could keep their people in.
Well, and right there... I love that story. There's a district in Texas where that we actually call the Terrier because it's Colin Allred's district. It actually looks, it's shaped in the shape of a dog. But absolutely, you're right. It's about keeping people packed into districts or cracking them out of districts in order to lessen their voice and lessen their power. And, you know, right there in Pennsylvania, there's already been at least 14 different bills introduced to further roll back voting rights, to further disenfranchise people. And at the same time, they're pushing something right now to actually put gerrymandering into your Supreme Court so that instead of having Supreme Court members elected at large in Pennsylvania, that they would be running in districts that the legislature drew to flip your court.
Yep.
I mean, they are just going all out right now. And we know the people are on our side. So we have to raise our voices and keep pushing and keep fighting. And it's a big day today. HR 1 is being voted on in the House here in just about an hour, and it'll pass out of the House and go over to the Senate. But we have to put pressure on all of our elected officials to get this done and make sure we strengthen our democracy.
Yeah, I don't see a snowball's chance in you know where of this passing, but I think it's important to have these conversations. And the reason we have these conversations is to push back against what Republicans are doing in our legislatures across this country, because you're right. They're doing everything they can do to rig the election while screaming, they're rigging the election. You know, it's one of that kind of projection that you expect from children. But, you know, that's what they've been masters at. And it's what Trump was brilliant at. I give Trump credit for some things. That kind of projection, you know, accusing everyone else of doing what he's doing, masterful.
And it throws people off their game, right? And look, I think that we will invite and welcome any Republicans who want to join us on this. But I don't think you're wrong. I think that we are seeing right now that they are choosing the opposite side of strengthening our democracy. They're choosing the side of attacking our democracy even more. But I think that we can't be complacent about the final outcome, because we know that we have the people on our side. We know that we have the issue on the politics on our side. And there have been other times when we have organized enough, we have changed the outcome, right? 2017 is a good example to me. The Republicans had the trifecta. The first thing they were going to do was repeal the Affordable Care Act. And the only reason they didn't was because we all organized and raised our voices loud enough. And so we're going to fight and we're going to try and we're not going to leave anything on the table. Right. And so for all your listeners, we need your help.
And by doing that, you can go to endcitizensunited.org, one of your websites, and the other one is letamericavote.org. We'll get links out on social media how folks can take a look at that. But, you know, I want to go back to real quick to the Senate vote, because sadly, this is another one of those moments where Joe Manchin, Kristen Sinema, and this we can't end the filibuster causes us to move really great legislation out of the House. Things that would really help people, things that would make things more fair and equal, only to die in the need of a supermajority in the Senate. And yes, I know down the road it'll bite us, but this is how democracy is supposed to work. We shouldn't have a supermajority every time we want to move a piece of legislation.
We agree. We think that we should not be in a system where one person can block what the American people want. And right now, that's what Mitch McConnell is doing, right? He's spent the last 10 years obstructing, and we've already seen how much he's obstructing in this new Congress. And we know, again, we know the people are with us. And so we're activating our 4 million members across the country. We're going to put pressure on members of Congress. We're going to put pressure on Republican members to make sure that they know they're out of step with their voters. And make sure that they understand how powerful this issue is. But this is too important of legislation, and it's too early to rule out anything. The bottom line is this bill is too popular, and it needs to pass no matter what. So we're not taking anything off the table yet.
And the thing is it's right. I mean, this is where, you know, you go through the arguments of, well, we can't open up early voting. Why not? Why is it that we have to only vote on a Tuesday? At a certain spot, I tell the story all the time. I voted first time, really vote by mail. I requested the ballot. They sent it to me. I sent it back. They sent me an email. Said, "Hey, we got it. Nice job."
It's
simple,
super
quick,
easy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone should have the right and the ability to do that without an excuse and a notary and witness signatures and all the other things they're trying to put into place. And that's another thing HR1 does. It says, look, you can vote by mail, no excuse needed, no matter where you live.
Yeah, but that's the problem. It encourages people to vote. And as you've said from the beginning, that's the only way Republicans are going to be able to win elections. And this goes back to 1980 with Paul Weyrich, the founder of the Heritage Foundation, who said, we don't want everybody to vote. Our leverage goes up as the voting populace goes down. And that's been their game plan from 1980 all the way to today. Tiffany, I appreciate the time. Hope folks will check out the websites and citizensunited.org and letamericavote.org. We'll get links out. But Tiffany, I appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much for having me on tonight.
Good stuff, Tiffany Muller. Let's take a quick break. Right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show.
Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg. Rick Smith.